I think most people in evangelicalism, when they see a squirrel, thinks of Gene Clyde. It's really strange when you think about it.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host. Coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Thursday, the 23rd day of March, 2023. If you're in the Western Montana area, a week from tomorrow, the men's retreat at Camp Utmost starts. You still got time to register for that. I'm pretty sure they're not full up. I don't know. Don't hold me to that. I haven't checked. But you can go to the Camp Utmost. Just Google Camp Utmost Montana. You'll find the website if you're interested in attending that men's retreat. Oh, yeah. Good coffee. Again, we're enjoying some Squirrely Joe's house roast this morning, which is just tasty. All right, this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else it is that I want to talk about. And I webcast Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. on Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch. And then the podcast is available wherever fine podcasts are found. And we are a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are sure to find something worth listening to. I was just listening to this week's episode of the Truth Be Known podcast as I was getting ready for the show with Nathaniel Jolly and Eki Tepsipornkai. I still struggle with his name. I've known the brother for 10 years, and I still struggle with the name. Actually, longer than 10 years. Yeah, gosh. Dozen years at least. Time flies, folks. I saw a meme the other day, and it was, is it John? What's his first name? The guy that played Samwise Gamgee on, his last name's Austin. Sean Astin. But he played Samwise Gamgee in the Lord of the Rings movies that Peter Jackson put out. Great actor, did a fantastic job in the role. Everything was fabulous. Well, in the final scene of Return of the King, he comes back from seeing Frodo and Gandalf and everybody and Bilbo and everybody off as they were heading, departing the Grey Havens. And he gets home and he's met by his wife, Rosie, who's holding a little boy. And he picks up a little girl and he's holding her in his arm and says, "Well, I'm back." And just a great ending to the movie. Well, the little girl that he was holding in his arm was his own daughter. And the actress that was playing Rosie was holding her own son. So it was kind of a neat cameo for their kids. Well, just saw a picture on Facebook this last week that it's the picture of Sam with his daughter, you know, in costume in Hobbiton. And the picture below that is proud mom and dad and daughter at daughter's college graduation. And it's just like, oh man, I feel old. Time flies. The brevity of life. The Bible's not kidding when it says that our lives are but a vapor. When you're young, you don't realize that. When you're young and you're looking forward to that huge life you have ahead of you, you think you've got all the time in the world. And then suddenly you're sitting there with gray hair and you're looking back and you're thinking, gosh, that wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago I was in high school. It wasn't that long ago I was in college. It wasn't that long ago that I did this or I did that. Time flies, folks. Make the most of today, as as Paul said in Ephesians, redeem the time. You don't know how much time you have. Use it for the glory of God. Use it for something fruitful, something positive. I'm not saying don't have fun, you know. Watch the movie. Play video games. Do stuff that's fun and relaxing and enjoyable. God has given us all good things to enjoy. But the main focus of your life needs to be glorifying God. Glorifying God in your home and family, glorifying God in your church, glorifying job in your job and your work and your vocation. All of life is to be lived for the glory of God. And yes, I just heard the squirrel come out of the tree onto the roof above my head. If you didn't hear that, Goober the squirrel is out and about this morning. He's gotten more and more standoffish as he is aging. he's a year old now, and he's not allowing me to approach as much as he. I mean, still every once in a while, I got to pet him last week, but he doesn't come when I call. He doesn't get all excited when I come out on the porch with nuts for him like he used to. And that's just a process of he's no longer a juvenile. He is an adult wild animal. And while he is still not, you know, he's not hostile and he's friendly and he is happy to see me, he's definitely more of an adult squirrel now than the juvenile that was much more willing to come up to me and take food from me. And still happens every once in a while, but I got to catch him in the right mood. All right. What do we got coming up on the podcast today? We got prayers from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And it's Theology Thursday. We're back in the 1689. We're going to finish chapter 11 on justification today. Let us begin, as is our habit, our practice, our great need, with the prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our devotional from John MacArthur is Jesus Summons Peter and Andrew. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Matthew 4:18a. Dr. MacArthur writes, when Jesus called his first disciples, such as Peter and Andrew, he was gathering together the original group of evangelists to help fulfill his Great Commission. The Lord had the sovereign prerogative to carry out the Great Commission by himself, but that was not his plan. Instead, he wanted to have partners in ministry. His plan was to use disciples to make other disciples. Jesus would teach them other things and mandate other responsibilities, but his first call to the disciples was for them to be fishers of men. Jesus' decision to select 12 apostles follows the pattern God established many centuries earlier. The Father always chose his most significant partners in ministry, such as Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and all the prophets. He chose Israel as an entire nation of ministry partners, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, Exodus 19:6. So it is no wonder that Christ told the apostles, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. John 15:16, John 6:70, John 13:18, and Romans 16:5. Our Lord commands that all his followers be evangelistic fishermen. The command, follow me, in the Greek literally means come here. The original text also has the term after, which indicates the place we must come to. Your place is following after me. This is his chosen place and posture for you. Ask yourself, if we truly knew the gravity of this, we would never get over our amazement that the God of the universe has chosen to live in relationship with us. What goes missing from your life when you forget that you have been personally called by God to your kingdom tasks and priorities? All right. Theology Thursday. We are in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. We are in chapter 11, and we are picking up again with paragraph 5. We read, God continues to forgive the sins of those that are justified. And although they can never fall from the state of justification, yet they may, by their sins, fall under God's fatherly displeasure. And in that condition, they usually do not have the light of his countenance restored to them until they humble themselves, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. So that first clause, God continues to forgive the sins of those that are justified. That's because in this world, we who are justified continue to sin. We need to be forgiven. That's one of the reasons why the Lord's Prayer has and that's the first scripture reference they gave us here, was Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts or our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors or those who have sinned against us. The constant need for forgiveness doesn't mean we fall in and out of salvation. We are justified. Remember that golden chain of redemption. Those whom he foreknew, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. So that whole passage is used in the past tense because it's not up to us. But at the same time, we constantly need to be restored to fellowship because we are constantly sinning. Because we are sinful human beings, I greatly look forward to that day when I'm no longer in the presence of sin. And you probably look toward that too. 1 John 1:7-9, again dealing with the same subject, it says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. And then verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Christian life is a life of repentance. And the reason the Christian life is a life of repentance is because the human life is a life of sin. And that life of sin continues after we come to faith and repentance and regeneration and all of that, when we become, by adoption, sons of God, when we are fully and finally forgiven for the penalty of our sin, our sinfulness continues as long as we're in this world. Read Romans 7. And then he says, although they can never fall from the state of justification. That's what I say, that what I said with the Romans 8:29-30. We, you know, in God's eyes, we're already justified. We're already glorified. You know, he who began a good work in you is faithful and just to complete it unto the day of salvation. So if God has begun a work in you, if you have been regenerated, come to faith, repented of your sin, believed the gospel and been forgiven, he will hold you fast. He will hold you fast. For your Savior loves you so, he will hold you fast. That's one of my favorite hymns because it's so true. You know, when I feel my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. Yeah, just consider that. All right. So we can never fall from that state of justification, but we can, through our actions, damage our fellowship with God, and we need to be constantly restored to that. And it's not that, you know, God... This is one of the big things. It's not that God is angry with us because we have been forgiven. It's that our own guilt and sin keep us away from God. He's not keeping us away. We're keeping ourselves away because of our own guilt and sin. That's that old, you know, the old saying that, you know, talking about the Bible, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Fellowshipping with God and staying in his word is so important to living a fruitful, happy, joyous Christian life. John 10:28, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, ever, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So if you are in Christ, you are secure in Christ. If you are not secure in Christ, you were never in Christ. And the paragraph continues, yet they may, by their sins, fall under God's fatherly displeasure. Psalm 89:31-33. If they profane my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with striking. But I will not break off my loving kindness for him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. So, you know, there is those whom the Lord loves, he chastises. He does discipline sinning Christians, not out of anger, not out of wrath. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's the discipline of a loving father for an errant child, trying to bring that child to correction. And that's what we see when we have sinned against God and he brings not justice, not wrath, but chastisement and correction. 6:9 continues, and in that condition, they usually do not have the light of his countenance restored to them until they humble themselves, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not cover up. I said, I will confess my transgression to Yahweh, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. And then they actually give us all of Psalm 51. This is the great repentance psalm. And we're going to read the whole psalm. So sit back, settle down, take a sip of your coffee. Here we go. For the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified. You are justified when you speak and pure when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, your delight in truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part of, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. And you are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and the whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. And then Matthew 26:75. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and cried bitterly. Going back to Psalm 51, the passage where he says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." Note that he doesn't say, "Restore me to salvation." He says, "Restore me to the joy of salvation." Because of his sin and iniquity, it wasn't that he wasn't saved. It's that he had lost the joy of being a child of God because he knew that he had sinned against God and he needed to be forgiven. Psalm 51, what a powerful, 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 powerful prayer of repentance. A wonderful model prayer for us, for when we are made aware of our sin and come before God and cry out for forgiveness, we could do much worse than to pray through Psalm 51. All right, paragraph 6. The justification of believers under the Old Testament was, in all these respects, one and the same with the justification of believers under the New Testament. This is so important because many people get this wrong. They get it wrong just from a casual misstatement. And I've heard people from every theological stripe get this wrong. They like to point out that in the original Scofield Reference Bible, there is a passage that could be taken to mean that salvation in the Old Testament was by keeping the law, and salvation in the New Testament is by faith in Christ. They ignore the fact that there were other notes in Scofield's, other one of Scofield's notes that directly contradict that. He wasn't talking about salvation, it was just a badly worded note, and when the Scofield Reference Bible was revised, it was changed. But I've heard Presbyterians make the same allusion, and I understand that they're not talking about salvation either. It's just an easy mistake to make. Salvation has always been by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, always. Nate Busnitz's book, Long Before Luther, fabulous book, goes through church history and points out that this has been the teaching of the church since the early church fathers. This was one of the things that the Church of Rome had lost and why the Reformation was necessary to reassert the true biblical gospel. But that extends into the Old Testament. And Paul makes this point in Romans. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was saved by faith. Not by works, not by keeping the law, by faith. and he was saved before he was circumcised. So circumcision played no part in his salvation. So this was, you know, pointed out clearly by Paul. The justification of believers under the Old Testament was in all these respects, meaning grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, one and the same with justification of believers under the New Testament. People saved under the preaching of Isaiah were saved in exactly the same way that people saved under the preaching of Paul were saved, or under the preaching of your pastor last Sunday. Same method of salvation. This is, like I said, this is an important point because there is a huge continuity through the entire Bible regarding the way of salvation. Galatians 3:9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Romans 4:22-24, which was indeed the passage I just referenced. And it begins, the first two verses, verses 22 and 23, are quoting from Genesis. Romans 4:22-24, therefore it was also counted to him as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was counted to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be counted, as those who believe upon him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. It is the God who justifies, not we who obtain justification. He justifies us, and he justifies us through the application of the active and passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ to those whom he regenerates and brings to faith. Its salvation is all of God. All right. Let us now recite our faith together from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, tomorrow's Friday, folks. We have just about blown through the week. Hope you've had a great week so far. Finish strong. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do today, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you again here tomorrow for Federalist Friday on Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.